I'm Mike and Scott. This is The Pulse. And here's how political conversations seem to unfold online these days. Either we agree and all is well, or if we disagree, things quickly devolve into, you're an idiot. No, you're an idiot. Okay, now I'm blocking you. That is, of course, not the most refined discourse. I spoke with Arthur Lupia. He is a political scientist who studies how we talk to one another, when persuasion works, when it doesn't. And here comes the bitter truth. Remember all those people you secretly or openly wrote off as dummies during this election cycle? He says when the other person is not getting your point, it's not them. It's you.
If someone is not paying attention to you, the problem is yours, not theirs, because typically they're paying attention to something besides you for a reason.
Lupia likes to use an analogy. He grew up in the country, and he knew the woods behind his house like the back of his hand.
There are places near my house where you'd go, and there'd be woods and streams and hills and mud, and you knew where to go and what to avoid.
And when he observes people trying their best to convince others of their opinion, he thinks of those woods. He says it's like trying to lead your friend out of the woods from afar, and you're yelling instructions.
Here's what you should believe, and here's what you should do. But if you don't know where your target audience, where your intended learners are starting out, you're giving them instructions they can't use, or even worse, you're giving them instructions that if they follow them would lead them to the wrong place. In the same way that if you were yelling in the woods and telling someone to turn left and take three steps, but you didn't know where they are, that person could be walking into a tree or falling into a river.
He says first we should find out where the other person is coming from, and then consider some brain chemistry. When we're presented with information that doesn't sit well with us, maybe it feels threatening to everything we believe, our brain freaks out.
The reaction is very similar to this idea of fight or flight, right? So if the information threatens us and we see no way to overwhelm it, we try to run away from it. The way that that manifests is we'll counter-argue it. So like in the political season, for example, suppose someone is liberal and they turn on Fox News and they see Bill O'Reilly or something like that. Typically, you know, a common response is not to listen to Bill O'Reilly and give him the benefit of the doubt, but to try and spend your time counter-arguing why he can't possibly know what he's talking about. So you're trying to distance yourself from him and the information. So if you're presented with a piece of information that's threatening, and particularly if you can't immediately see how it would help you, the typical reaction is to try and diminish it, the information, to try and make it seem small and distant and not relevant so that you can go on and ignore it.
I'm wondering if you could walk me through how we can talk to one another better about divisive issues. How do we get information across? How do we make a point? Let's say you and I meet at a dinner party, and you believe in climate change and man-made climate change, and I don't. And somehow this topic has come up, and now maybe we've traded a few barbs, maybe we've gotten a little snippy. Yeah. So how do we do this? How do we talk here?
I had an interaction with a leader of a major conservative faith group in this country who asked me almost the same question. He was saying, you know, I'm looking at this literature on climate change, and I think it might be real, but my congregation is so against it. So he asked me, how would you write a sermon on climate change? And I said, well, I wouldn't, because your congregation doesn't see you as an expert. But here's what I would do. Think about the common values of your congregation. Think about a sermon that you give that's about one of these common values. And in his case, it was stewardship of God's creations. So I said, do you have a sermon that you give on the stewardship of God's creations that every year when you give it, your congregation's right there with you? And as you're climbing the mountaintop in your sermon, you feel them going with you. You're stating, this is what we're about. And right at the end, when you're about to deliver the punchline, this is why we, you know, have to be stewards of God's creation, then you mention, and that includes the environment, and that includes what we're doing to the environment and to the climate. We're all responsible. This is part of who we are. So instead of trying to take a conservative congregation and say, today I'm going to lecture you about climate change, instead it's, let's find our common values. Let's find something that you and I share, a priority that we have, and let's build from that. So if it was just you and me, you know, we would be talking a little bit, and I might find that you care about children, or that you care about your community, or that you care about, you know, water or something like that. And I would start with the place where we agree and then try and build an argument from there. And there are great, wonderful ideas and things we could do together that won't, you know, solve the whole set of difficulties or disagreements that we have, but can be a basis for us to work together to improve our quality of lives and those of people around us.
Lupia says the most important thing you can do is listen, not for the sole purpose of jumping in and making your point, but to really understand what the other person is saying. But that sounds way easier said than done.
How do you turn off that soundtrack in your head that says, that's nonsense. Oh my God, yeah. I can't believe he just said that. How do you stop that?
Yeah, sometimes when you're tired, it's hard to do. You've got to have some adrenaline. You've got to have the ability to redirect your attention and adrenaline. And when you're really tired or if you're hungry, it's like it's really not going to happen. But if you have the ability to kind of to take a deep breath, to take a step away from the hand-to-hand combat and think about, you know, I'm just going to take a step back and think about my objective. My objective is to help my community. My objective is to improve life for my family or for young people or for veterans or for, you know, the elderly or whatever it is. And what can I learn from this moment that helps me be effective? And if that's really your goal, right, then you have the motivation and a little bit of the energy you need to be quiet for a second and to really hear someone else on their own terms.
So in summary, it sounds like changing minds is hard work, but it can be done.
Oh, it can be done. Yeah. I mean, if what you're trying to do is show how smart you are or how awesome you are, it's harder to do. But if what you're trying to do is take a moment that you have with somebody else and build something greater than yourself, either a new understanding or a new way to help other people, then you can do it. You can sit down, you can really listen, you can see, is there something in common that we can build from? And then you go build it.